Have a beautiful day. Lord, we thank you for the health and strength you give us. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, we ask that you would just minister to every heart, speak to every heart. Lord, as you know the need of each one. And Lord, you are able. Lord, before the foundation of the world, you knew the need. You had the answer. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. Lord, what a resting place that we have to know that you're in control of all things and you prepared all things before the foundation of the world. Well, you'll bless us together now if we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see each one this morning. And we just thank the Lord for the opportunity. We know that we'll be traveling tomorrow. And spiritually, we're ready to go, and physically, we are just not going to get it all done. And we know God knows all things.
Amen.
And so, but we thank Him and praise Him for that. At 1:45 a.m. this morning, my visa came. And so, they do it in like 72 hours, and it, now it just comes, you can just download it on your phone, and show it, and most people do that with their ticket anyways nowadays. When they're going through the line, they just scan their phone and it's all there. And so it's a real convenience, and I know some people don't like the phones, and but it's just like anything else. It's how you use it. You can use it the right way and it'd be a blessing, and you can use it the wrong way. The computer's the same way. I can remember a time when I heard preachers preach that the only one should have a computer is the preachers, and that it was bad for the people because then created too many questions, created too many. They would know too much. They would for all whatever reason, and there's some truth to all of it. There's some truth. There's some bad stuff on the phone. There's some bad stuff on the computer. There's some bad stuff everywhere. And so you can always take whatever side you want to take. If you want an argument, if you're looking for something to criticize, it's always there. It's just always there. And so, but God's got a people that's somewhere right in the middle.
Amen.
And He keeps them there. Yeah. And if they stray a little this way, He screams. If they stray a little this way, He screams.
Amen.
And he keeps them on the way that He wants them to go. And so we're thankful for that. We want to give you greetings this morning from Brother Goomba and from Brother Peter Siengo and from another Brother Peter. It's a friend of mine that I talked to. Actually, I witnessed to him years ago, several years ago, and he's come in the message. And he's been out of the country. He's been in Qatar, but he's made his way back to Kenya. And so he'll be with us for the services in Thika. And so we're looking forward to that time. So now, this morning, we're on part 19 here, and we have we're still got a long ways to go to finish this lesson on the Christ, the mystery of God revealed, or the threefold purpose. And so I want to start this morning on John 14, chapter 14, and I want you to drop down in those to verse 15. We're going to start with verse 15. And I want to read some now. On Wednesday night, we read from John chapter 16. And so now we're going to read from chapter 14 this morning. Now, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Notice, he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. That was coming. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And actually it had come. You would know it came at Pentecost. There is when it came. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. And because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day, Ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Amen. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So, a lot in that scripture, a lot in that chapter, and a lot in the whole book of John. It's quite a testimony, quite a revelation. What John speaks forth, he had a really deep understanding. He had a deep relationship with Christ. And so now I want to just back up first before we start this morning in the message, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, because we've hit on so many things that I was just wondering this morning if we've lost what he said that this was all about. And so I wanted to go back and read it again just to reestablish it. And we've been all on it. We've been all around it. But I want for him to say it again just to put it fresh in your minds.
Amen.
Paragraph 153, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. Oh, if God can get him prisoners like that. Now, that's when he can express the preeminences you see. When he gets prisoners, that's when he can express the preeminences. First, now this is a threefold mystery, right? To express himself completely, God in Christ. And second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, the bride. Till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right. So, first, to express himself in Christ. Second, to express himself in the bride. And in expressing himself, he identifies the way that has to be done. Or the only way that can be done is for when he has the preeminence. And that was the only way that it could be done in Christ, was because that God had, the Father had the preeminence in the Son. He had the full preeminence. The Son said, I don't do anything. I don't know anything. I can't do anything until he shows me. And when he shows me, then I tell you. I speak it to you. And if he tells me to speak in a parable so nobody can understand it, and then take you aside and explain it to you, then that's what I do. You come and you want me to say it where everybody can get it? That's not what he wants me to do. He wants me to speak it in a mystery. He wants me to speak it so nobody's going to get it, but just you. Just the elect. So, thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam. Back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people. He talked with them and he fellowshiped with them. What did Adam have? He had fellowship with God. He had fellowship, daily fellowship with God. They walked together. They talked together. They had fellowship together. And Adam forfeited that and he lost that. Adam was conscious of what he had. He was in full control of everything.
That's right.
And he lost that.
Yes, sir.
And so now this part of this great revelation is coming back, placing the kingdom back in its right position.
Amen.
And where is the kingdom? What is the kingdom?
Amen.
He is the kingdom.
That's right.
And he said the kingdom of God is in you.
Yes, sir.
It's living in you. It's manifesting itself in you. That's where it's at. That's the revelation. And Jesus spoke it in that day. And he said, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said, well, the day is coming that you're going to understand this, that you're going to find out that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, and I in you and you in me.
Yes, sir.
And so those three manifestations all come to do one thing. And so you're a part of every bit of it. When he, as the Father, you were in him.
Amen.
As the Son, you were in him. And as the Holy Ghost, he was in you.
Amen.
And so he come to express, every time he's expressing himself. But you are a part of that expression. You can't get away from it.
Amen.
And now sin and death had separated them from his presence and his entire expression. So it wasn't the perfect expression that God wanted because they had got away from that fellowship.
Amen.
And God wanted that fellowship. And so that's what he wants today. That's what he was going to have with his wife. He's going to have fellowship.
Amen.
160. God expressed in Jesus Christ, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just said we were in him in every manifestation. In the Father, we were in him in thought form.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? That's brother, and that was a revelation. We didn't know that until it came. The prophet revealed it, that we were there as a thought in his mind.
Amen.
And that we came as Adam. We were not in a theophany back there somewhere and living on a cloud or in some paradise or whatever. We were in thought form. We were in his mind. And then when Christ came, he was the fullness of the Father. The fullness of the Spirit now had become the Word. And the Word was made manifest, and you were in that because you were a part of him in his mind. And so now you're manifested in the Son. You were in seed form and waiting for that his side to be pierced and that life to pour out and the bride to come forth and those seeds, that life to come forth and begin to manifest. And it started right there, and it continued right through the ages until it come down, till it got to the fullness of it. It got to this part of the body. And so this was the fulfilling, this was the climax, this was the maturing of it all, was all coming to manifestation now. And so that's the part that you are. And so he's come in the fullness of his Spirit today. That's how he's come today, in the fullness of his Spirit. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church, the preeminences. Now, what is it? The complete fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now that's a big statement.
Yes,
and it dwells in the church. It dwells in the bride.
Amen.
That's where it's at.
Right.
And it wasn't in any other day. Brother Branham said because it hadn't been given. He said Luther had the Holy Ghost. Wesley had the Holy Ghost. Pentecost had the Holy Ghost. He said, but not in the portion. And that's what's happened today. He keeps identifying the portion.
Amen.
He keeps telling us that this is the fullness of it. This is the maturing of it. This is the true. This is the real. This is the fullness of all of what he wanted to do.
Amen.
This is it. He's come to it. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church, the believers. That's where it's at. And so, We just surrender. Just surrender. That's all we need to do. Just surrender. Let him have that preeminence so that this can all be fulfilled exactly according to his perfect will.
Amen.
Not a permissive will, but the perfect will of God. And it's going to happen. There's no two ways about it. If we're messing around, if we're getting off track, if you're seed, he's going to bring you.
Amen.
And if you act like it's a game, he's going to make you serious. He's going to shake you. He's going to get you right where he wants you. And if you're playing a game, if you're a son and a daughter of God, our children aren't perfect. You know, they play and they cut up sometime. And sometimes you tell them to do something and they smile and act like, you know, not a big deal. You're not so serious. When we are serious, we make them realize we're serious.
Amen.
And when we're not serious, God makes us realize he's serious.
Yes.
And that he's wanting to move us this way or that way or this way or that way.
Right.
God is not playing a game.
Yes.
God is expressing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just revealed it. He's just brought it to reality in this day that we're able to realize that's been his whole plan the whole time.
Right.
Was just to express what he wanted to be. What he wanted to express, the manifestation of what he wanted. And so it's just, that's become real. Paragraph 16. Now, this is in the message, what was the Holy Ghost given for? This is back in 1959. Jesus said that, at that day you'll know that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. And I'm in you and you're in me. Now, if we're going to say this, now remember, this is going to be on tape. A Christian businessman out of Louisville called me a little while ago, and he said, it's a shame, Billy, that these messages like you said last night doesn't get to 40,000 here instead of 150 or 200 or 300 people at your little tabernacle. And so he was criticizing the prophet because he's just there with a little group of people and just only a few people hearing it. And Brother Branham said, And you know, they talked about, that's why they offered Brother Branham a plane one time. They said, listen, you know, he said, you're going to these little nobodies, these little backwash, these little people ain't nobody. He said, this message, this gift that you have, Brother Branham, it needs to go to the world. And he said, we will charter a plane and we'll give you a wage, whatever you want, just whatever you want. We'll pay all the expenses, everything. And he said, we'll get this message out to the world. He said, instead of this here, you preaching to 100 people or 150 people, he said, we'll get you before thousands and tens of thousands. That's the way we think.
Yes, sir.
That's the way man thinks, is the more people that's hearing what I say, the more people that are hearing me is a greater service to God. I'm sorry to say, that's not.
That's right.
That's not it. Brother Branham said he had an offer one time. This guy that offered him to come and preach at this big church. And he said they had hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of members. And I don't remember how many people it was. And he said there was another man who wrote him a letter. And he said, Brother Branham, he said, he told him what town he was in. He said, I'm a minister. And he said, we don't have a church. We don't have a building. He said, I'm preaching under a pine tree. And he told him how many kids he had, a bunch of kids, like 7 or 8 kids. He said, we don't have nothing. He said, I don't have nothing to offer you. He said, I can't give you anything. He said, but God knows we need you.
Amen.
To come here.
Yes, sir.
And help us in this work, in this gospel. And Brother Brandon had an opportunity to go to thousands.
Amen.
Thousands. And get paid for it.
Yes, sir.
And he said, he said, you know where I went.
Yep.
You know where I went.
Amen.
He went to the pine tree. Where he wasn't going to get anything.
Right.
When God called some to go this way, or the men were calling them to go this way, and God was saying, go that way.
Amen.
That's how God does. God knows where the seed is. And the seed isn't the big group. The seed is the little group.
Amen.
And here, let the masses hear it. That's all fine, if that's what God wants. But God's going to get his elect. When Jesus went by way of Samaria so he could get one prostitute,
yep.
He could have been preaching to crowds. He could have been preaching to hundreds. He could have preached to Who knows what? He could have had great conventions. And he went there for a predestinated seed. It's not, it's different than the way man thinks. Our way of thinking is in the natural. It's in the carnal.
Amen.
But God is looking at his purpose.
Yes.
I said, sir, in 6 months from now, if Jesus tarries, the whole world around will hear this. See, them tapes go to all over the world, see, all around. And therefore, we are teaching here now just what we believe to be the truth and what we have found out that God has confirmed to be the truth. That's right. And so, it's the same today. It amazes me today, now, that how it's going out on the internet, how it's going out to other countries, and other countries are hearing things. And so, but Brother Branham talked about the ministry of Paul one time. He was talking about Brother Billy Graham is what he was talking about. And he said Billy Graham said he'd go into a city and said he'd have 30,000 converts. I think those numbers are right, if I'm remembering correctly. 30,000 converts. Have an altar call. 30,000 people come down and accept Jesus Christ. Not accept in a church. Billy Graham wasn't in any denomination. He was trying to bring them together. And so he wasn't saying, if you join this one, join that one. He was getting them to Christ. And so 30,000 would come and give their heart to Christ. And he said he'd come back in 6 months and he couldn't find 30 of them. And he blamed it on the preachers. He said, what is it? It's these lazy preachers. And Brother Branham said, no, that's not the problem. He said, the problem is, where did you get them to? He said, if you get them in Christ, if Christ, you get them born again, he said, you don't need 30,000. He said, you just need a dozen.
Yes,
he said, a dozen is like in Paul's day, the scripture said, turn the world upside down. If you get a dozen, then that life is going to find more life. It's going to quicken that when you germinate that seed, it's going to cause more seeds to be germinated. And so the numbers don't mean anything. The numbers, God don't need those numbers.
Amen.
God is able to get his predestinated seed. Now the purpose, what was God's purpose in sending the Holy Spirit? Remember, this is his lesson here now. What was God's purpose in sending the Holy Spirit? Now mark it down, John 14, beginning at the 14th verse and reading through the chapter for the basis. See, God's purpose we find here in sending the Holy Spirit was one purpose, that God himself might dwell in his church and continue his plans through the church. That God was in Christ continuing his plans through Christ. Isn't that Acts 1, Acts chapter 1? All that he began to do and continues to do. That was the promise. What he began in Christ, he was the firstborn from the dead. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
He then came in a many-membered body. That was his purpose. Brother Branham said that was his one purpose. His whole purpose there in giving the Holy Ghost is so that he could manifest himself as a many-membered body.
Amen.
That God was in Christ continuing his plans through Christ, out of Christ, into the church, continuing his work through the church. And now we know that the Holy Spirit is, we know what the Holy Spirit is. We found out last night that it's God. And now when we think of God the Father, as Jesus spoke of here, his Father, God the Son, as Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, as what we call it today now, that does not mean that there is three individual distinct gods. It means that there's one God in three offices. And may we say it like this. All that God was, he poured into Christ. Because he emptied himself. Poured it into Christ. And Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See? All that Jehovah was, he poured it into Christ. See, all that the Father was, that's the reason Jesus, when they asked him, said, show us the Father. He said, have I been with you so long and you don't know who I am? When you see me, you have seen the Father.
Amen.
For the Father is in me. I'm in him. He's in me. This is the fullness. This is the manifestation of the Father now is right here in this veil of flesh that you call the Son. And so all of that now had to come into a body. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. Not into one individual, but into the entire body. Amen. There where we come together in unity. And we have power. And I think I'm going to skip this. But I just want to mention this. I've kind of embarrassed myself over the last couple of days. And I embarrass myself all the time. But I find out how little I know. And how, you know, and I'll just give you an honest confession here. And, you know, in the last 20 years, I don't study my Bible like I should. I'm using the scripture more now than I ever have. Except when I first came in the message, I used the Bible all the time. And so then when I realized that the message was the Word of God, then I relied on the word, on the message and on the quotes and on what Brother Branham said, about the scripture. And so if he said something was scripture, I said it was the scripture, which is true and which is fine. But sometime when you're witnessing to people and you're saying something and then they say, well, where's that at? And then you go looking for it and you find out that it's not exactly a scripture, but that it's the divine interpretation given by the voice of God. Amen. And so that's exactly what this was. And so I had it in my mind that there was a scripture that said that all that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that was in Christ, he poured into the church. Now, how many of you ever read that scripture? Yeah, me too. But it's not there. It is not like that. So it's there, and it's divinely interpreted. And I looked for it, and I spent hours. And my wife looked for it. She practically read the New Testament. And so I asked other people. I asked Brother Michael. And early this morning, I asked Brother Chris. I said, Brother Chris, I said, do you know where that scripture is? And so he started looking for it, and he came back and gave me some scriptures that Brother Branham was using for that. And so that's where we read chapter 14, because that's what's alluding to that. But there's no scripture where he poured into Christ or emptied into Christ. It's not there. But if you can find it, please give it to me, because I've spent hours. And the more I searched, the smaller I felt and the more embarrassed I was, that I just knew that that was a scripture. That that was a scripture. And I've had that over the years and in witnessing to people. I'd say the Bible says such and such and such. And they'd say, show it to me. And then I went and looked for it, and it was a quote. A very scriptural quote. Amen. Because it took pieces of scriptures and laced it together and made a picture that was a revelation of this day. Yes. And that's what a prophet is. He's Amen. The divine interpreter of the Word of Yes. God. He's a divine interpreter. Right. And so I just thank God. Yes. And this right now, this is scripture. This is scripture right here. All that Jehovah was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. See? That's a scripture. Now, not into one individual, but into the entire body. That's right. Dropping down into the Sardesian church age, page 272, paragraph 2. See how Judas was chosen of God? He was instructed in truth. He shared knowledge of the mysteries. He had a ministry of power granted unto him. He healed the sick. He cast out devils in Jesus' name. But when the showdown came, he sold out for gold and political power. He did not go up to Pentecost to receive the Spirit of God. He was devoid of the Spirit. Amen. And make no mistake about it. A person that is truly baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the Spirit. How much?
Fullness.
The fullness of the Spirit. That's what he's been talking about. That's what he's been talking about. And he's been talking about a day would come when you're going to know that I am in him and him in me and I in you and you in me. You're going to come to that. You're going to come to that place where you're going to realize that we are one and the same. And that's what the prophet said. See, a person that is truly baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, will be in the Word all the way. How much? All. They're not going to have a partial revelation. They're not going to say amen to part of it and reject something else. They're going to be in the Word all the way. All the way. And no two ways about it. Notice another thing he identifies. When he adds these words, why don't he just say, when a person is baptized by the Holy Ghost? But that's not what he said. He said, when a person is truly baptized with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because some of them have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they don't have it in its fullness. They don't have it in the light of this day and this age. They have the anointing or the baptism on their spirit. They don't have it on their soul. It's not a soul change. It is just the anointing upon them. And they can have great signs and wonders. They can do great things. They can have great knowledge. They can receive the mysteries. They can do a lot of things. But they don't come into the fullness. And so if they come into the fullness, here's what happens. I'm going to read it again. See, a person that is truly baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, will be in the Word all the way. Now, he tells us in many places that what that means is the Word of your day.
Amen.
Not the Word of another age. Everybody can believe Noah. Everybody can believe Moses. Everybody can believe Jesus' day. Every church can claim all of that. The thing, it's got to be the Word of your day. See, that is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Listen now. That's the evidence. When you're truly baptized, you're in the Word all the way. And that's evidence. See, Judas failed. Multitudes fail right there. And when they fail to go on in that Word, their names are taken off the book of life. Praise God. So it's got to be in the fullness. It's got to be in the day, in the age. And remember when Paul said that, we were reading the scripture the other day, and Paul said that, I'm judged of no man. I'm judged of no man. That fits perfectly right here. Where Brother Branham said, we read the other day, where Brother Branham said that it's impossible for them to see this and to understand it. Because it's hidden from them.
Yes.
Absolutely impossible. That goes right here. It goes right here. They cannot see it. They cannot understand it. So tell me, how is somebody going to judge you when they don't have the fullness of Christ in them?
Right.
How are they going to judge you when they don't have this revelation? How are they going to judge you when the teacher is not in them, teaching them the revelation of the Word of this day?
Amen.
That's why we've got to be careful who we let condemn us.
Yes.
There's only one that should condemn us, and that's the Spirit of God when we are out of line.
Yes, sir.
And no man should be able to condemn you. No man can make you feel bad for the revelation that's living in you.
Amen.
No, maybe it's contrary to their idea. Maybe it's contrary to society. Maybe it's contrary to the nation you live in. Maybe it's contrary to the rest of the churches, even other message believers. All of that don't matter. It's Christ in you is the life.
That's right.
And you born, truly born again, then Satan can't touch that. He can't touch that. He can't condemn you. So they under no circumstances can they receive it. And this is a message in 1956. Why are people so tossed about? I always marveled at this message. And just the title alone, I love it. Why are people so tossed about? And he's not talking about the world. He's talking about Christians. Amen. He's talking about believers. He's talking about people that are claiming to believe Christ. Why are they so tossed about? One day they're a believer, the next day they're not a believer. One day they're on top of the mountain, the next day they're in the valley. One day they have a revelation, the next day they don't have a revelation. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Not me that liveth anymore, but Christ that liveth in me. And let me just say this, because yesterday Sister Edith called, and we had prayer with her. Her blood pressure was really high, and dangerously high. And so we went in prayer with her, and she was just nervous. And so later she called and she said that it had went down. Brother Michael and I was together over at Sister Evelyn's, and we just stood there in the backyard and prayed with her over the phone, on the phone. And so she called me later, and she said she felt like that she momentarily had amnesia, and that she, because she was nervous. And I thought about that, and I thought, I didn't agree 100%. I didn't agree 100% because I thought for the last couple of days, or since I got my my ticket, I have been nervous, constantly nervous. And that's the flesh. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. What's on the inside is not weak. What's on, and not, no doubt what you're saying can be true, and that we can apply that. But that's what happened to the world. That's what happened to the churches. That's what happened to believers. But we get nervous because the flesh does. And that does affect our blood pressure. It affects a lot of things. It's the tension. And Brother Branham said there's a lot of tension in the world today. And you'd like to think that there's not. But there is. There's a lot of tension. And Satan has so designed the world to build that tension, to put pressure on the people. And so, we have to daily remind ourselves who we are and what we are. But we're the flesh is going to have its problems. And we understand that, we accept that. So I don't think for any moment in time that you don't know who you are. I don't think that for 1 minute. I know you know who you are. We feel bad. I feel bad sometimes because I let the pressure bother me. Same, that's what she was doing. She was letting the pressure bother her. And so we just have to ride over that. And so listen, 18. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Not me that liveth anymore. Not me, but Christ that liveth in me. Christ living in the individual soul surrendered. Christ speaks through the lips. What does he do? Speaks through the lips. He thinks through the mind, and he sees through the eye. Whose? Yours. He's speaking through your lips. He's seeing through your eyes. He's thinking through your mind. He's giving you his mind, and it changes your mind to think like he thinks. Amen. He's changed your soul. He changed your nature. Desires that you used to have, you don't have them anymore. Right. You don't have that desire. Your desire is to him. See? And he acts through the temperament. Think about this, because they're all different. Some are more high-strung. Some are more laid back. Some are quick and fiery, and some are real slow to speak. Every one of us, we have different personalities. And God is expressing himself in every one of those personalities. He expressed himself in Peter, who was a fireball. He expressed himself in Paul, who was a scholar. He expressed himself in, which one of them was a doctor? Was it Luke? I think maybe Luke. Different ones. But anyways, every single one of you, God is using that personality. Brother Branham said He lets your life, your birth, come into the family that you come in. And that thing shapes you and the way that you're raised and the country that you're in and everything about your life. He said all of that is building the type of character and temperament that he wants to express. That he wants to express. So, I think there's a carnal idea out there that when you get born again, everybody becomes a bunch of robots. We all walk the same like this, and we do the same, and we talk the same, and we look the same. And no. God is a God of variety.
Amen.
God wants you just like you are.
Yes.
He likes you. He wants to express Christ in you. And he wants to express Christ in somebody else.
Amen.
That's his way. And he loves doing that. And it's that simplicity that blinds the people.
Yep.
If everybody did the same way, then, then that's what they would see. That's what they would notice. They'd say, oh, look at them. They walk the same way. They all dress the same way. They all do this. And this. Some religions like that. They want to dress the same way. That's not what God said. Yeah, you don't find that anywhere.
Amen.
You don't find it in the mess. You don't find it in the Bible. No. There's only one thing that we're all the same, and that's the life.
That's right.
That's the life. And that life is taking your vessel, your body, and making your temperament and your personality, and it's moving you by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
To manifest God.
Yes, sir.
To manifest him. See, then the things of the world has passed away. How can it be anything but sweet and pleasant all the time? Christ has got control. Amen. You see it? That's what it is. It's Christ in you. Christ in you. Praise God. Now you say, see, I believe it to be the truth, Brother Branham. That's right. It's in here. But it has to come here. Now, I can only surmise what he's saying. And so what I believe he's saying is, it's coming here, you heard it with your ears, and it's coming to your mind. But it's got to get into here. It's got to get into here. It's got to come from here to here. That's what it has to do. See? But it's got to come to here. If it is, then your whole makeup is Christ. Your attitude, your desires, your appetite, your everything is Christ. Yielded, resting, everything perfect. No matter how dull it looks or how black it looks, still, it's the same, see? Christ in you. That's right. And he speaks to the sinner in the voice he would speak to him in. Listen to closely to this now. Tell me what he's saying. He speaks to the prostitute in the voice that he would speak to them in. He thinks through your mind the very thoughts that he speaks to your heart, the very way that he would if he was here on earth. And you're no more your own, but you're surrendered. Now, what is he saying? He speaks to the sinner in the voice. He speaks to the prostitute in the voice. If there is somebody in Lincolnton that needs to hear something, that be it not, sometimes we think that if we're going to witness to somebody, we have to give them the whole message. No, sometimes you might just speak an encouraging word to somebody, and it'd be just the thing they need for the moment. God is the one handling this here. It's not that we got to, okay, now I got to call this person every day, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to make sure they continue day by day. I don't think so. No, if God leads you to do that, that's okay. But if he just wants you to speak something, you're talking to the cashier and she's down and out, and you can speak a word that takes her mind back to when she was a kid. You speak Christ to her and it brings her and gives her a little hope. It takes her back to how she was raised. It takes her back to when she might have had a relationship with Christ. Whatever it does, God knows what it does, and he's going to continue her on. It's not necessarily going to be you. It might be another person tomorrow. It might be another one. God has got this thing under control. He's doing it. If somebody we can follow up with, that's wonderful. That's great. And they'll come to church. That's all wonderful. He speaks through the voice, through a voice to that sinner. He might want one of you to speak to one at the store. He might want one of you to speak to the prostitute. Yep. He might want one of you to speak to somebody else. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Yep. He has a voice for the prostitute. He has a voice for the sinner. He has a voice for each one that you meet and you talk to every day. Yeah. God is able to put this thing together. That's the reason in the military and in everything. You got generals. You got orders. He's giving us. It's coming from headquarters. It's coming down from the top. And he's come down now and we're the foot soldiers. And we're just out there bumping shoulders with people every day, fighting the battle and witnessing and speaking a word wherever we can. That's all we got to do. We don't got the whole burden. He's in control. We don't have to take over and think, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do now. I did this. I spoke this. I did that. Now, what are you going to do? You don't have to go there. He's in control. Amen. You don't have to get uptight. You don't have to worry. God's going to get it done. Just leave it in his hands. Rest it right there. Amen. I want to read that again. He speaks to the sinner in the voice that he would speak to him in. Whosever voice he wants, whoever he wants to use. He speaks to the prostitute in the voice that he would speak to them in. See? He thinks through your mind. The very thoughts that he speaks to your heart. The very way that he would if he was here on earth. And you're no more your own, but you're surrendered. Praise be to God. I just think that's beautiful. That's right. I want to drop down. He's talking about Aaron here. And if you want to read it later, you can do that. There's a little part here I'm going to read about Aaron in just a minute. So, 19:1 there. We can walk in the presence of God and be hid from the things of the world. You don't hear them anymore. It's soundproof. See? Hallelujah. Soundproof. The world's on the outside, gasping and looking. But you're on the inside, in the presence of the eternal, everlasting God, eating from this manna that'll last for spans of years, hundreds of years. It's never contaminated. Never did it give out. Huh? This, Brother Branham said, when Billy Paul's great-grandchildren, he said, this will still be the eternal truth. Amen. This revelation is not going to change. It is the eternal truth, and it'll continue through eternity. A man that once walked into God, and the veil drops behind him, shutting off the things of the world, he's in the presence of God, eating the manna. See, no wonder, 12 o'clock, 9 o'clock, anything, he's living in the presence of God, of the King, see, amen. No wonder every day's fine from him, see. Remember what he's preaching about, why are people so tossed about? But when you get in the presence of God, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. See, look where he's at. He found the secret place. He's went behind the veil and the doors is closed behind him. He don't see nothing of the world. Them doors was made soundproof by sheepskins and goatskins. And this is made soundproof by the baptism of the Holy Spirit that hides a man in Christ. There he becomes a new creature. And he walks daily before him in this manner. Yes. Praise be to God. Amen. See, what a beautiful picture of the believer in the presence of God. All things are his then. See, all things was given to Christ. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he poured into the church. And that day, you'll know that I'm in my Father and the Father in me and I in you. Oh, the privilege that the believer has if they could only accept it. The only way you can accept it is when you recognize it. That's right. It's got to be recognized. It's got to be a revelation. And if you have truly been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will be in the Word all the way. All the way. This is about Aaron. I wanted to read this a little bit here. And now, after they left the second court, sanctification, they entered into this consecrated life. Entered into the presence of God. And while they were in there, There's where they had all these glorious things. What a beautiful type that in there, everything dead come in, lived again. Praise God. Did you ever think of that? They took Aaron's rod and laid Aaron's rod in the presence of this holy place. And when they did, in one night's time, it budded.
Amen.
It blossomed and it yielded almonds.
Yes.
In one night's time, think of it. In the presence of God, this old dead rod laying there in the presence of God budded, blossomed, yielded almonds in one night. Praise be to God. What was it then? What kind of rod was it? It was an almond tree rod. Listen now where he's going to go. And that's what he'd taken it from. The stick was off an almond tree. And you are a stick of some kind. Huh? What were you taken from? You were taken from him. You were a part of him before the foundation of the world. That's the only life. That's what he said. If that's the seed that's in there, that's the seed that's going to come forth. It's not going to be bring forth a Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian. It's going to bring forth a son and daughter of God. See? And you are a stick of some kind. You was taken off the branch of humanity, which was God's created son in the beginning. You may be fallen dead, alienated from God, but by that in creation, you were created to be a son of God. You may bounce around and be respected and honored out here in the courts, but if you ever get into that glorious place and hid away with God, you'll yield what you're supposed to do. Oh, praise God. That life is going to quicken and it's going to bring forth the seed of God. That's right. Praise be to God. Dropping down just a little bit there, it doesn't have a number, but says in the blue, if it comes through, if the colors come through for you. Every Christian comes the same way. When he comes into the presence of God, first he has to be refreshed. The Holy Spirit has to take a hold of a man and renew him and make him another person. The Holy Ghost comes in just a refreshment.
Amen.
Amen. Got to be another person. It's got to be a complete change.
Yes.
You die. You die. Now, I have a few quotes here and there out of different messages, and they're shorter. This is the message, The Good Shepherd of the Sheep, paragraph 47. He's sending the church in the same way that God sent him. Are you listening? He's sending you the same way he sent Jesus Christ. The same way. The same. He's going to do the same with you as he did with Christ.
Amen.
The God that went, that sent him, went with him. Is that right? See, he said, one day you're going to know the Father's in me and I in him. That's it.
Amen.
I don't do anything but what he shows me. The God that went, that sent him, went with him. The Christ that sends the church goes in the church. The very same works. God was in Christ, what doing? Expressing himself to the world. No man had seen the Father at any time. The Father's a spirit. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him. He's in here. Back to that heart again. God was in Christ expressing himself to the world, what his attitude was, what he thought of the world, how he loved the world. He so loved the world that he laid down his own life for it. And the only way he could die as a mortal, he had to become a mortal. See, God was in Christ. That's right. Praise be to God. Expressing the same way that he sent Christ, he's sending you. He's going with you. When their eyes were opened, this was in Spindale, North Carolina. Now, if that was the sign for the Jew, for the Samaritan and the Gentiles, the whole world then, that he was the Messiah, because he'd done those things, would not it be the same signs of the Messiah if he's the same tonight? Is that right? Then if he's raised from the dead, now that's what he just told us in the previous quote, that he's going to use you the same way he used Christ. He's going to be with you. And now he's challenging the people here That if this is what he did in that day, then wouldn't he do the same thing today? The same thing. And I know that it's always being related to healing, but let me just relate it to the better, the greater part. Jesus said that when he come, he spoke those things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. And then Paul went out on the backside of the desert and he got the revelation for that day. And he came forth and he said he was speaking forth the mystery that had not been known from the foundation of the world. And you can read that all through the Old Testament too. The same thing. They were constantly revealing things that had been hid from the foundation of the world. Never been spoken before. Never been known before. That's what happened in that day. Jesus was doing it. Paul was doing it. They were bringing the revelation to the people of that age. And so now here we are at the end when the promise was made that the fullness of Christ, the unveiling of God, would be revealed. And Brother Branham said those seven thunder mysteries, not those six seals. Those six seals was revealing what had already happened. Those seven thunder mysteries, Brother Branham said, would be the mysteries hidden from the foundation of the world. There's things, and he said, it's hidden in the messages. There's things that's hidden in there that had never been known to any age, to any people, until this day. Now it's made known. And this mystery is part of it. It's part of that. It had not been known since the foundation of the world, and now God is revealing it and letting us see what it was. What he had in his mind. What he had in his mind. See? All right. Then if he's raised from the dead, he's no more in a corporal body, but he's in our body. Oh, I like that. Yes. See? All that was in God, he poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, he poured into the church. I'm telling you, I looked for this scripture, and I looked for this scripture, and I looked for this scripture. And I was looking for something, I just had it right there all the time. That's it. It's the divine interpretation. So he's no more in the corporal body, but he's in our body. All that was in God was, he poured it into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured it into the church. See? So it's just a continuation. What is it? It's just a continuation. See? So it's just a continuation. And that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father. That I'm the Father and the Father in me. See? And I in you. See, all together, the Holy Spirit working among his people. Amen. Praise God. That's right. That's so good. All right, this is in the Patmos vision. Now, he's just saying the same thing, but he's saying it a little different, a little different, a little different. And he just nails it perfectly. That's right. So, my battery is dying. And I had it charged up overnight. And then I got up about 4:30 this morning. And I was using it, and I didn't even think about it until I was leaving. I don't know whether it might. It's getting pretty close. So, but anyways, let me just keep. Okay, this morning. Now I think I'm dropping down just a little bit into the second paragraph. Now this morning was more of the sermon type, placing the foundation upon the deity of the revelation. God being revealed in Christ. How many believes it? See? God was revealed in Christ. Jehovah revealed in Christ. Now, where's God to be revealed? In his church, with his people now, in us. See, the same spirit, the same works, the same manifestation. So, you don't have to give up your, just wait till I cry. So, right now, I'm okay. I'm okay. Okay, listen now. The same spirit, the same works, the same manifestation, the same love, the same forgiveness, the same long-suffering, gentleness, patience, peace, mercy, all that was in Christ is in the church. Amen. Remember, keep this in mind. All that God was, he poured into Christ. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Has he already told us that we, when we're born again, truly born again, that we have the fullness of the Spirit? Is that what he said?
No.
That's what he said. The fullness of the Spirit of God is in you, and you are in the Word all the way because the teacher is in you, guiding you in that revelation. Remember, keep this in mind. All that God was, he poured into Christ. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. God above us, God with us, God in us. The Trinity of God, God manifested in three different manners. See, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you were a part of all of that. You were in every manifestation. You were there. You were there. You were there in the Father. You were there in the Son. And you're there in the Holy Ghost. All of it. You can't separate it. There's only one eternal life.
Amen.
And that's Him.
Right.
And that's you. That's you. You. This thing is just, I tell you, Brother Branham, he said a few times, he said, when it really hits home, he said, you're just going to walk. You're just going to step right out of this flight. You're just going to walk and go. Because it won't be able to hold you anymore.
That's right.
And that's why he said to lay in the presence of God. Just let this thing mature. Let this thing become more real and more real. Every day, he's reminding you that you are a child of God. And that you are the manifestation of Himself on the earth today. And that you are the voice of God today. That you have the mind of God today. That everything that you're doing is you are expressing Him.
Right.
And as we mature in that revelation, we are less and less thinking about us and how we feel about it and what we want to do about it. And we're more and more thinking like Him to express what He had in His mind. And because when you yield to that, that's how you begin to think. Oh God, if the world could only see that God and man are one. The super sign was that first man that God could come into. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. See, super sign, God and man together. That was to be the super sign of the last day when the entire Bible was to be fulfilled in the last days.
Amen.
What's the fulfillment? Who's the fulfillment? You are the fulfillment.
Yes.
You are the manifestation of it. You are the fulfillment of it. You're all that he said, all that he promised. That's what's happening right now. Paragraph 380, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And in there would be a time come forth when he would express in fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church. Now he just keeps saying it over and over, don't he?
Amen.
Huh? The fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church. What the Father was manifested in the Son. And what the Son was to be manifested in the bride.
Yes.
And that's what it is. The fullness of it. Not the partness of it that was coming through the ages, but the fullness of it. That's the promise today, and that's what you're here for. See? Through his church, have the preeminences in his church. Oh my, what? The anointed man, now the anointed people, oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Praise God. Anointed by, why? Accepting what Eve turned down. See, and Adam, coming back with the anointing. See, what was Adam and Eve? They were perfectly the type of Christ and the bride. And that's what Brother Ram said. They were perfectly the Christ and the bride. And that's why it was called the first Adam and the first Eve. And the second Adam and the second Eve. That's where we are. This one can't fall. That one failed. Huh? See, anointed, accepting what Eve turned down, and Adam, coming back to with the anointing of the Word. Because he said, my Word is Spirit, see? Anointed with the Word, what Eve turned down, and comes back, and we accept. See how that hybrid condition again? Just exactly what Eve done. He told Eve, don't you do this. Don't you do that. You can do this and that, see? That's the thing. Where is it now? Them that love me, they'll obey my commandments. They'll do what I said. Satan said, oh, you know, but she turned around and listened to him. But even the last day is not going to do it. Because she's predestinated not to do it. So I'm going to ask you a question. Was Eve in that day predestinated to do it? Was she predestinated to fall so that we could be expressed? That's why she fell. So the full expression could come forth in a many-member body. And that's why it's here today. That had to go down. So it could come to one and Christ would show that it could not fall. Praise God. Oh, glory. Church would be there without spot or wrinkle. She is going to stand there in the splendor of Him, His Word made manifest. Listen to this. She'll be a token to the world. Praise God. And what is the token? It's the life. It's the life. She'll be the life to the world. She'll be the one that the world can receive life by. If there's any seeds out there waiting to be quickened, it'll come through her. She'll speak it. Her lips, her voice. God will use her. And then God, by His Spirit, will quicken that seed. See? She'll be something to the world that the world can look and say, well, the rest of the world say, oh, she's a holy roller. She's the second cousin. She don't belong to our group. I know. That's a good thing, see? She belongs to this group up here. Amen. Praise be to God. That, where the world is calling it holy rollers, I think more and more and more we're coming to that place where we're very careful to criticize. We're very careful to speak against one another because we know that that is God. And we can still have faults in the flesh. We can still have shortcomings. We don't do everything perfect in the flesh. You're never going to. But that perfection is Him.
That's right.
The perfection is His life. And so we've got to come to that place. It's dropping off day by day. I believe that He's helping me to drop off those criticisms, drop off those things, and let me come to that place where it's criticizing sin. It's criticizing false doctrine. It's criticizing those things there. And not the faults, not our faults of one another. Abraham had his faults, and God seen a righteous man.
Amen.
And that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to see. So this is in a, I just kind of throw this in. But it's just kind of, it might seem a little off the chart, but it's really good. This is a message called The Good Shepherd of the Sheep, paragraph 51. My wife said today, she said, Billy, you're never home. Here, we've been married almost 15 years, and your children hardly know you. And I thought this is really something. This is really hard, especially on a man who moves a lot. No doubt this may hurt his feelings a little bit. She said, as soon as you get the phone, maybe 34 calls a day, come here, Brother Branham, come over here. Well, you go wild. You know, that's the wife talking. And so he's going to talk to her. And just listen to this. I said, but honey, look, my life is not mine. And neither is yours. And that's what I like about this. He brought her into it with him. He didn't just say, I'm the one, I got to go, I'm the preacher, I'm going to the world, I got to do this and this. No. He said, my life is not mine, and neither is yours. Every one of us, we must recognize it. That no matter where you are, No matter if it's here or it's the other side of the world, He is using you. He's got control of you. See, I said, honey, my life is not mine, neither is yours. God gave me as a gift to the public, and I belong to the public. Now, whatever you do with it, that'll be between you and God. It's not me. I'm a man. But the spirit that's in here, going to that heart again, is a public service of God to you. And you can receive it or you can refuse it. Whatever you do with it, that's up to you. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the message and I look at the things he went through, especially when you read the life story, the pain, the suffering, the loss of his wife and his children, I don't want this to sound sacrilegious or sound wrong, but when we talk about Calvary and what Christ did and the suffering that he went through, that was the price of redemption. That was it. Amen. But Christ in that man, just as we're saying, he's in all of you. Christ in that man, he suffered what we can't imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine. Sometimes I stop and I think, and I literally cry and I think, how could he stand it? How could he take it? Knowing that he listened to his mother-in-law and knowing that God was taking his wife and God was taking his babies. Amen. I thought, and the grace of God and the mercy of God is so great. And sometimes we just look what he went through. And it always comes back the same thing to me. He went through that for me. Amen. He went through that so I could see this. Amen. He went through that to make this message so real. Amen. So real. And that how serious God is about this thing. This is not a plaything. This is not a toy. Amen. This is not something you just push it around however you want. This is a life. Yes. And this is something, this must be more important than our job. This must be more important than our family. This must be more important than everything that we do, everything that we're interested in, everything, all of our cares of this life, everything we have to do. Christ, our relationship with Christ, must be more important than all of those things. It must be number one. And he did that in the prophet for me to see, that me to see how weak that I am and how slack that I am and how much I need more of what he had. And I don't want that suffering. I can't imagine anybody would want to go through that. Right. I don't want to go through that. Yeah. But I know that God is going to get his. God is going to bring every one of us right where he wants us to be. Right. And whatever it takes, if we want to slack and we want to be lazy and we want to not step up and keep our relationship where it should be, then God's going to bring us to, he'll do whatever it takes. Amen. He will do whatever it takes because you are a son or daughter of God. Amen. You don't earn that status daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. That's the status that you're born with. Yes. And that's why your parents are they're over you, they're on you, they're worried about you, they're taking care of you. Not because that you got to maintain a status. No, because they love you. Because you're already a son of God. You're already a daughter of God. Right. And so now, because of that, there's a tie. There's a tie that binds. And God's he's not going to forget. He's not going to let it go. He's going to get every one of his. Every one. And so all of the rest of it don't matter. You might look out for the neighbor's children, but there's no tie. There's no tie there. Sure, you don't want to see them get hurt. You don't want nothing bad for them. But they're not the one that comes in your door every night and crawls in bed in your house and you tuck into bed. Amen. No. You are God's.
That's right.
You are God's. And God is maintaining that relationship. And He's going to hold you to it. You might think it ought to be up in glamour. So would we thought John would have been in glamour, see? But standing in mud, probably to his knees, on the banks of the Jordan preaching. Yeah, think about that. John, was there any glamour? Huh? Look at the way he was dressed. Look at the way he was raised. 9 years old, huh? 9 years old, went into the wilderness.
Amen.
Why? God could have raised him up just like Moses in the king's house.
Yes, sir.
God could have arranged it. He could have put him in comfort. He could have. But he wanted him to be rough. He wanted him to come out of that wilderness and speak rough. He wanted him to be able to say, "You snakes in the grass, you serpents." That's what he wanted to relate it to. He wanted it to be just as simple and humble and a nobody that they would just raise their nose up and say, "This is a madman." And somehow or another, the paradox was that there was people all over the place that was tired of those up and ups, was tired of that theology, was tired of the political nonsense, was tired of all the rest of it. And here, although this man didn't look befitting to be a priest, he didn't look befitting to have anything to do with the things of God, the words that were coming out of his mouth were agreeing with what was in their heart, was agreeing with what they were seeing, those false priests and those false prophets and those hypocrites and those liars. There was something coming out of the mouth of that little nobody that they could relate to. And God will do it every time. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. If a church preaches different from that, don't you. You die to that thing. Be born again into the Word of God. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, that's how far it was to go. These signs shall follow them that believe. In all the world, in every creature that will believe it. See how we got away from it? But it's a responsibility. That's right. I was just thinking about when I was reading this. I remember years ago, it was a big thing. And it's just like people not realizing or not believing that when the seals opened, redemption was finished. The blood covenant ended and the spirit covenant was given. And so that was just the difference. And Brother Branham makes it clear in the token messages. He was identifying it in the opening of the seals. But then when he got to the token, he said that these things had to come to an end. And so he said before the seals could be revealed, redemption was over. It was finished. The blood covenant had been fulfilled. And so reading the scripture has made me think earlier, back many years ago, it was a big deal, people preaching that the gospel hadn't went to every creature. We hadn't got to every person. No, that's because you're thinking like a man again. You're thinking like a man. See? You're thinking, okay, well, there's villages and there's tribes and there's this and there's that back in the bush and they never heard it. Well, the gospel had to be preached to every creature in every age. And it was. Every creature that was to hear it heard it. Everyone that was to receive it received it. And everyone that couldn't receive it, they couldn't receive it. That's just all it is. And it went through seven church ages. And Brother Branham said that when the last one heard it, that was it. But people were saying, no, it's not done. We haven't got to every creature yet. We haven't got to every person. God's got them. God knows who. And He knows how. And He knows when. And He knows what they need and how to get it to them. Oh yeah. You put it in the carnal, and you'll mess it up every time. Now look what Hollywood has took the virtuous things from our women. See, I'm sitting here, looking at a dear old woman, Sister Schrader. Many of you women here back, Sister Moore over there, older women that remembers a few years ago, if their mother or even them would have walked out on the streets the way some of these women walk today, church members, huh? church members, message believers would have walked out on the streets. They'd have been locked the woman up for being insane. She forgot to put on her skirt. Well, if it was insane then, it's insane now. Look at the whole world proves it's insane. Look at the murders and things that's going on now in the world. It's insanity. That's right. The whole thing is coming to fulfill Revelations. That's right. We may get to it this week, where those hideous things, them's not natural, that's spiritual things, and them going insane, these things, they're seeing it in their mind. And that makes people scream for the rocks and the mountains, everything to fall on them. Remember, what is it? It's spiritual. It's spiritual. It's happening. People are waiting for it to happen. It's happening. That's right. The complete, total insanity of this world will go into right away. It's almost there now. See, I was talking to a man the other day. He does septic work and grading. And I had him come out and was looking at a job. And so we got to talking. I don't even know how we got on the subject. It just happened. And so he asked me what I thought about the condition, the world and the mess. I said, it's gone. I said, America has rejected God and did so long ago. And so he started telling me about the mark. He said, we're not far from it now. The mark, they're going to put a mark on there and put a mark up here. And I just told him, I don't know that it'll be the way they think. I said, I think it's going to be what you do and what you think. Because you, by whatever revelation you have or whatever spiritual understanding you have, that's the way you're going to live. That's the way you're going to act. And that's what you're going to manifest. And so that's what he's been telling us the whole time. He's been saying Christ in you is going to manifest Christ. And that's all it can do. And if Christ is not in there, then it's Satan. And Satan is going to manifest Satan. That's their nature. That's what Cain couldn't help but to do that. And so that it's what's in there. It's what's in here. And it's what you're doing. And I think the scripture is actually on. It's not on. Total insanity. Do things that the human being wouldn't think of doing, being civilized. Now, just think about the current events, politics. I don't even have to mention it because you all know what I'm thinking. I've said it too many times. It's insanity. It's insanity. Look what Hollywood has done to the women. Look how it is. It's robbed the sacred virtues of the women. That's right. On and on we could go. That's right, see? And just something that just struck me is, in all of the filth and all the insanity and all of that that they were pushing before the election, all of that. And they thought by bringing in their celebrities, bringing in their Taylor Swifts and their clonies and their actors and all these different people, that was going to pull it over on the people. Just as they were in John the Baptist's day, people are tired of that nonsense.
That's right.
The people are tired of it. They're tired of looking at it. But you look at the millions and millions that will still stand behind that nonsense.
Yep.
This is amazing. It is amazing when you look at it. Look what Hollywood has done. Robbed the sacred virtues. See, on and on we could go. All of this she lost. How did she do it? Because there was a subtle instrument called the devil? No, called the church. There was a subtle instrument called the church. Like there was in the Garden of Eden, a subtle person, the devil, walked into the church just like he did in the Garden of Eden and deceived her into it. She is deceived. The woman thinks she don't mean to do wrong. Eve didn't mean to do wrong. It wasn't willfully. The Bible said in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, she was deceived. See? And deceived is when you willfully do it. See? I'm sorry. And deceived is not when you willfully do it. It's when you're deceived into doing it. That's right. See? And that's just exactly what happened today. She's been deceived. Oh, how was she deceived? Listen now. By television? Thinking about getting one? Huh? It's a curse. The prophet said it's a curse. And you know what else the prophet said? The prophet said, God told me not to have one. And you know what else the prophet said? He said, if I had one, I would shoot it with my gun. Amen. That's what I'd do. Amen. Now, this goes back to what I was saying last week about people think, because this is here in America. This is where these excuses are making. But sometimes people in other countries will say, oh, well, he's talking to Americans. He's talking... No, he's talking to the bride.
Amen.
He's
yes,
talking
sir.
To the bride. Right. And here you find, I don't know, I guess I shouldn't even guess, but I would venture to say more than 50% of message people have a television.
Yep.
I would just venture to say that. That would probably be a very low estimate, so I wouldn't be exaggerating. Probably be a very, very low. And you say, well, but we can control it. It's good. No, that's not the point. It's not the point how strong you are and how wise you are. Huh?
Yeah.
How wise you are.
Yep.
No, that's not the point. The point is that God told the prophet not to have one. God told the prophet, or the prophet told us, it was accursed.
Yep.
It was cursed. And so, and then he said if he had one, he'd shoot it.
Yep.
Then... for the one who wants to twist it, there's always the other side. It's just like we said. Say, did Brother Branham ever watch TV? Oh, he did watch a program, didn't he? Did he ever watch him? He did watch a movie, didn't he? Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, he even suggested you watch one. He said, the Ten Commandments. He said, if you get a chance to watch it, watch that. It's really something. If you want to make it right, you can do it.
That's right.
And if you are locked on to what the prophet is telling the bride, then that's where you're going to stay. You're going to stay. She's been deceived by television, by magazines, by these things. See, all these fine things that they're going out on the street, modern girls, they look at the magazines, they look at the pictures, see. They look on the streets, they see the clothing in the shops. How Satan, that great instrument of hell, has come down amongst the people and deceived them into these things. And the women think she's all right. And she's dead and she don't know it. See? She is far from God. See how she lost all this? How subtle it was? That's right. That's right. All right. This is the last one. Maybe a couple paragraphs. This is in Works as Faith Express. This is where we're going to end it this morning. But that didn't stagger Moses. When Moses turned around and done a miracle in the name of the Lord, and here stood these impersonators, done the same thing, that didn't stop him. Say, well, I guess I'd better quit and go off the field. He stayed right there. For what? It was revealed to him. Hallelujah. He knowed by the word of God. He knowed that the word would finally catch up with them. Are you listening? Remember now, when they're picking on you in this day, when they're mocking, when they're making fun, when they're having their good time laughing at you because you strictly abide in the revelation. Are you going to quit because of that? No, 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 no. Here's what you know. Here you have the same revelation Moses had. He knew the word would finally catch up with them. He knew there'd come a time when the word would manifest itself and they couldn't go no further. Praise God. So I know this all these years, see? That's right. That the time would come when any miracle that God sends, a real miracle, there's always a change in the whole system. If God sends something into the church, the old system's not changed, he sent it in vain.
Yes,
and what's he saying? Was there healings through the church ages? Yes, there was. Was there supernatural in the church ages? Yes, there was. But it was just a little here and a little there, here, a little here, a little there. But what happened in this day? There was a ministry that came forth like no other since the foundation of the world. No other ever before. Even though Jesus was great, Paul was great, Elijah was great, Elisha was great, all of them was great, Moses was great. But this there was never. And every one of them came, it was because it was time for a change. Because they were a great gift that did many things, not just a little something here and there. And so when this prophet came on the scene, there was tens of thousands of people that were healed. And the discernment revealed the secrets of the hearts. And that the blinded eyes were opened. The dead was raised. Not one time, many times. Why? Because it was a great supernatural thing that God was doing.
Amen.
Making happen.
Right.
And so when God, what he's saying is when God does that, there's a change has to take place. Or God wasted his time. When a message goes forth in signs and wonders, there's a message that follows that. When that gift goes, what he's saying is when that gift goes forth, there's a message follows it. When Jesus went forth healing the sick and then come to his message, I and my Father are one. I am he. Wow, what a message. What's your message today? I and my Father are one. I am he. That's the bride today. That's what he's been telling us. That's the revelation today. They couldn't say it in no other day. They're saying it today. We're saying it today. Because it's the revelation for the day. That you are one with him. And that he is the only way he has to speak today is in you. He's thinking through your mind. He's seeing with your eyes. When he looks out and he sees sins, he condemns it. When he looks out and he sees godliness, he identifies it. He praises it. He glorifies God for it. See? I and my Father are one. I am he. See, they didn't believe that. They believed his miracles. Said, if you can't, he said, if you can't believe me, believe the miracles. Believe the gift. Believe what God is doing. See? They testify to you who I am. Oh, glory. Who was first? Moses? Then they impersonated him, see? But the great truth still remains the same between the right and wrong. They cannot accept the message. They cannot accept the message that's unadulterated from the Word of God.
Amen.
No, they can't do it because it's hidden from them. They're blinded to it. And God is revealing it by His Spirit. And it's a great thing. And it just, as he said, continues on and on and on. As it started with Cain and Abel, God established that it was a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
When he came down to the disciples and he asked them, who do they say I am? He established it again. And he made it more real than it even was all the way through. He identified it in a greater way. And so then he comes down to this last day. And the prophet's screaming the same thing. No one can see this. No man. You can't study into it. You can't pray into it. There's no way you can get into it. Except you are invited into it. And that's when Brother Rand was talking about Aaron in coming into the holiest of holies. He said, Aaron couldn't go in there. Only one way. He said he couldn't decide, I want to do this, I want to do that. He said he had to be invited. He had to be invited into that place. And that's the only way we can go in is by invitation. He invites you personally to come in to his presence. And we thank God for that. Now, we're preparing to go tomorrow. We'll leave in the morning and head to the airport. And we want to just... We covet your prayers, and we know that you'll be praying for us, and we appreciate that so much. And as you've been praying for Brother Goombuk, and pray for us, be praying for Brother Michael, so be some pressure on him. And you can't come here without pressure. It just, Satan makes sure that that's there. And so we know that, but we're excited. I'd been thinking, you know, you always, ministers, you know, as you're preparing for something, you're trying to prepare messages to go, and it's always a hard thing. And I don't think I've ever took a mission trip that I hadn't messages all prepared. I have messages, but it's like every time you get somewhere, God kind of moves you the way he wants you to say and whatever quotes you're going to put in there. So, but I've, in the last couple of weeks, I'm trying to study to minister to you, and I keep thinking about that. I keep thinking, I'm going to go here. I read a quote, you know, as I'm searching, I say, man, that would be good for these people. Then I read a quote, oh, that'd be good for the over there. That'd be good for over there. And then when I get there, I might not read none of them. I might not use none of them. But it's just really something how that it's so on your mind. You just, it consumes you as you're studying and you're thinking about it. But the first place I'm going, the first weekend, I think Thursday to Sunday, is going to be in West Phuket. I've never been there before. Brother Guma's been there. I think Brother Keenan's been there. But I've never been there. But Brother Joseph invited me, and he told me that the people, he said, they're really nice, really sweet. And he said they're young in the message. He said they're not very deep. And so we're praying that the Lord will give us something that would be a benefit to them, that would bless them. And so we want you to pray for us and remember us. And we'll be praying for each one of you, that God will have your way. We want you to be, Brother Siango reached out to me this morning. He said they still have a deficit on the meetings. And I think their total was over 3,000 for the meetings. And I think they're down to, they still need about $1,300. So we just want to ask you to just be in prayer for the need there. And the church, we had some money put back, and we sent that early on to help with that. And then the rest of what we had, we gave to Brother Goomba to help him on his trip. And so we don't have much funds there, but I believe God will supply the needs, and I believe there'll be the people there will be able to step up also. But we want to do whatever we can. Amen. And so just be in prayer concerning those things, that God will have his way. And we appreciate all that has been done. I want to say that, because the offerings that come in, they go to those things. And so they're helping with expenses that we have, or they are going to the mission work. And so we thank God for that. So it seems like there's something else that I'm going to remember when I get home that I wanted to tell you. But I guess I'll write it on the website. But we'll ask you to stand together with us. And so we want to say yesterday was Cameron's birthday. And so they had a nice get-together for him with the family yesterday, and some of his brothers and cousins, or cousins and friends, I guess. I don't know. It was most of them family? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we, 17?
15.
Oh, getting you two. Sorry about that. I don't want to push you out there too fast. So 15, so that's a good age. Yeah. So we just thank God. May the Lord bless you in all that you do. And each one now. So I'm going to ask Brother Richard if you'll come and dismiss us this morning in prayer. God bless you, brother.
That was real. Thank you. He talked to me personally. I think he probably talked to everybody else.
Amen.
And I think it's so good. And let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you would speak to us now. At this time, I think it's a good time, Lord. It's a perfect time. Be with our precious brother, Lord. Strengthen him, Lord. Speak to him when he needs help, Lord. Knowing the word, Lord, is you, and we heard it today. We heard you today. And we're thankful for it. Not worthy of it, but you're worthy. Because we're part of you. Just seems so simple, but sometimes it's not. Lord, you help us in them times. Lord, speak to everyone here, Lord, and that word that we've heard, it grow deep and into our hearts, Lord. And remember him, our brother, as he travels, Lord, at times he spoke to us, Lord. He spoke the truth, and he spoke the word, and we're thankful for it, Lord. We're not worthy of it, but you are. And now we go again. We just go back to you, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord. Make it profitable for our brother that he can go where he needs to go, Lord. You strengthen him, Lord, financially or whatever is in need. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.